is Wednesday, June 20th, and this is VOA's International Edition. I'm Sarah Williams in Washington. Coming up, President Trump says he will sign an executive order on immigration following an outcry over family separation. The Trump administration withdraws the United States from the United Nations Human Rights Panel, and the Backstreet Boys return with a new single. It's all ahead. President Donald Trump says he will be signing an executive order on immigration to address the issue of migrant families being separated at the southern border.
We're going to be signing an executive order. We're going to also count on Congress, obviously, but we are signing an executive order in a little while. We're going to keep families together, but we still have to maintain toughness, or our country will be overrun by people, by crime, by all of the things that we don't stand for, that we don't want. So I'm going to be signing an executive order in a little while before I go to Minnesota. But at the same time, I think you have to understand we're keeping families together, but we have to keep our borders strong.
Trump's comments came after reports that his Homeland Security Secretary, Kirstjen Nielsen, had drafted an executive action for Trump that would direct her department to keep families together in detention after they are detained crossing the border. The Trump administration has been coming under fire over its policy to split up migrant families as they illegally cross the southern U.S. border. Earlier Wednesday, House Speaker Paul Ryan said the chamber would vote on immigration measures to overhaul U.S. immigration policies.
We don't think families should be separated, period. Look, we've seen the videos, heard the audio. And when we were working on this bill for the last number of months, we saw that this court ruling was wrong, and we had put this fix in the bill to begin with. So let's look at what's going on. This court ruling goes back to, I think, 2008. And the law should not have our government choose between enforcing our borders, enforcing our laws, securing our borders, and keeping families together. That's ridiculous. It's a ridiculous choice.
VOA's Eleni Barras is in McAllen, Texas, on the Mexican border. She says the migrants are in two sections, those who want asylum and those who are charged with criminally crossing the border. She spoke with me about those who had crossed into the U.S.
We heard from one gentleman who we asked him in Spanish, and he said, "I was well treated. My child was well treated. We were okay." And he was very grateful to be able to be in the U.S., and it felt like he needed to prove that he was worthy of, you know, having this opportunity to say, "Hey, I'm going to file for asylum." So he was one sign saying, "I was well-treated, my child was well-treated, I was not separated." Then we had other mothers saying, one mother, for instance, didn't want to fall asleep because she was afraid that they were going to come and take her child away. Then we have the advocates saying that the kids are being kept away in the detention center. They have hot meals. They have a little schedule that they follow, but they're still not with their parents, which is that's the main point for them. Even though they are, you know, receiving, they're able to take a shower, they're able to have the meals that they need to have, they're still not with their parents. And that's the main point that these people are trying to pass here.
And also, I believe there's an area that is called tender care for children, for really small, for babies, really young children.
So that's the point where those kids require more supervisors, right? They require more care. So they're more expensive. There's a report out there that it says that it's about $250 to have a child like that in detention. Those are the children who cannot stay, right? Here's my relative's number in the U.S. And those are, everything that I'm telling you is based on what the advocates told me. So those are the kids that may be harder to find them because the parents might be going through a criminal hearing, federally prosecuted. They have to do time, depending on what the judge says, and they get deported. So when they're in their country, that's when they have to figure it out how to find their children. There is one case, actually, of a father who was deported, and his five-year-old was, I believe was five-year-old, was in the U.S., and it took him about five months to find his child.
What is the sort of the atmosphere like around this situation?
Look, we actually at the bus station, we spoke with a volunteer. His name is Luis Guerrero. And he's been working, his whole job is to, he welcomes the people once they're released from detention. He tells them where to go to this humanitarian center. And then from there, when they come back, he helps them get in the right bus, like the right destination. So I asked him, I said, can you tell me what was like under the previous administration and what is now? And he kept saying, before, he saw a lot of hope. He saw people, they were actually smiling. They were actually hopeful of the future. Now he's seeing all these people very down, very sad, very skeptical. Everybody that comes to them, they're sort of like looking and not really sure if they should answer their questions or not. So there's this heavier atmosphere around them. And they, even as a reporter, you know, walking up to them and trying to talk to them and explaining, hey, would you like to share your story? How do you feel comfortable? Would you like to be anonymous or not? Even offering that, they're still not willing to talk to us. For you to have an idea, yesterday at the center, it took us almost all afternoon to get one family to talk to us. People just simply, they're scared and they do not want to share their story, even if we offer them to, you know, say an anonymous way. So this gentleman, this volunteer, he's a retired firefighter here in McAllen, and he says that he comes every day, and that's all he does. He tells people, he talks to people, he reassures them, but he has seen an increase of mothers and fathers with little kids, but they're just very skeptical and very scared.
VOA's Eleni Barros in McAllen, Texas. Here are some of the top news stories that are trending. Coalition forces seize an airport in Yemeni city of Hodeidah, fueling fears of a humanitarian crisis. Turkey will get F-35 jets despite congressional objections. Kiir and Machar in Ethiopia are meeting soon. And North Korean leader Kim Jong-un ends his two-day trip to China. Expanded coverage of these stories and more are on the voanews.com website. This is VOA.
This is Science in a Minute.
For years, science has linked saturated fats found in red meats to cardiovascular disease. Now, a new study published in the American Heart Association's journal Arteriosclerosis, Thrombosis, and Vascular Biology suggests that sensitivity to an allergen found in red meat may also contribute to the buildup of arterial plaque in some people. Previous research identified the main red meat allergen as something called alpha-gal, which is described as a type of complex sugar. They also found that the bite of the Amblyomma americanum or Lone Star tick can sensitize people to this allergen. While scientists are unclear of the exact number of people who may have this meat allergy, the study authors estimate that it may be 1% of the population in some areas. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
This is International Edition on the Voice of America. I'm Sarah Williams. Coming up, some American inventors are honored. The Trump administration carried through with its threat to withdraw from the UN Human Rights Council, with U.S. UN Ambassador Nikki Haley accusing the council of ignoring gross rights violations by member nations while engaging in what she called its disproportionate focus and unending hostility towards Israel.
For too long, the Human Rights Council has been a protector of human rights abusers and a cesspool of political bias. Regrettably, it is now clear that our call for reform was not heeded. Human rights abusers continue to serve on and be elected to the Council. The world's most inhumane regimes continue to escape scrutiny. And the Council continues politicizing and scapegoating of countries with positive human rights records in an attempt to distract from the abusers in their ranks. Therefore, as we said we would do a year ago, if we did not see any progress, The United States is officially withdrawing from the UN Human Rights Council. In doing so, I want to make it crystal clear that this step is not a retreat from human rights commitments. On the contrary, we take this step because our commitment does not allow us to remain a part of a hypocritical and self-serving organization that makes a mockery of human rights.
Secretary of State Mike Pompeo said the council, formed in 2006, once had a noble vision, but has now become, in his words, a poor defender of human rights, a view shared by University of South Carolina political science professor Joseph Ulmert, who spoke with International Edition's Victor Beatty.
This council has become an arena for anti-Semitic propaganda for years.
UN Human Rights Chief Zayd Raad al-Hussein called the decision regrettable. He said, given the state of human rights in today's world, the U.S. should be stepping up, not stepping back.
Who is he to say it? I mean, he comes from the Kingdom of Jordan, which is not known exactly for human rights.
The head of Human Rights Watch said the council has played an important role in countries like North Korea, Syria, Myanmar, South Sudan, but he said all Trump seems to care about is defending Israel.
Well, again, this is a nonsensical statement. What is he talking about? What role did they play in Syria? 600,000 people were killed there. What role did they play in Syria? What is this nonsense? Look, the fact that people make statements like this just shows to you exactly the bankruptcy of the UN. And you can hear in my voice that I'm angry, because enough is enough about all that. Why do people have to wake up every morning to hear all these criticisms of Israel when you really have these atrocities in other countries, for example, in Syria? What did this council do about the use of chemical weapons by the Syrian regime? Well, what is he talking about?
Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's office called the U.S. move courageous. But a dozen rights groups and aid organizations warn the U.S. pullout will make it more difficult to advance human rights priorities and aid victims of abuse. Phil Robertson is deputy director for Human Rights Watch in Asia.
The United States has allowed their myopia with Israel to blind itself to the fact that the Human Rights Council works all around the world, on North Korea, on Myanmar, on Cambodia, on Nepal, on other countries and other places, Syria, Yemen. I mean, you name it, the Human Rights Council is a critical piece of the international human rights architecture. And for the United States to walk away and slam them this way is outrageous. It is unacceptable, and it just shows once again how the Trump administration doesn't care about human rights.
They particularly singled out Russia, China, Cuba, and Egypt for preventing efforts at reform.
Well, that's true. But you know what? When you have a problem and certain countries are blocking reform, you don't leave. You redouble your efforts. You push harder. For the United States to just walk away, those countries that they mention are, you know, they're now cheering. You know, the U.S. is leaving the table.
Phil, what's this going to do to the effort against human rights abuses?
Well, I think, unfortunately, it's going to remove a major international power, which has a great deal of heft and influence, from the argument about human rights.
Phil Robertson said it leaves the U.S. out in the cold when important rights issues come up before the council, and he described the withdrawal as a self-inflicted wound that the Trump administration should be roundly condemned for. The U.S. has produced some prominent inventions. Well, recently, the inventors were honored. Julie Tabo reports.
3, 2, 1.
A ribbon-cutting ceremony at the National Inventors Hall of Fame Museum marked the opening of a special event honoring 15 of the greatest inventors of our time.
Every year, the National Inventors Hall of Fame has a wonderful class of inductees who have done some of the most amazing things.
Paul Rosenthal is with the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office, which protects their inventions.
From medicine to chemistry to mechanical inventions that deal with a variety of airplanes and automobiles. It's just astounding the variety of ideas that have come from these people. For the invention of sports broadcast graphic enhancements, Stan Honey.
Among them, Stan Honey, recognized for inventing graphic systems that makes it easier for television viewers around the world to see key moments during a live sporting event.
The yellow line we're seeing is the course boundary.
Such as sailing, car racing,
first down out to the 44-yard line,
and American football.
What we do is we superimpose graphic elements like yellow lines into the real world,
correctly positioned so that they can reveal something that's important to a game but is otherwise hard to see.
I got this opportunity to move to 3M's dental products department.
And Sumita Mitra, honored for using nanoparticles to strengthen dental composites that also help teeth look more natural.
There's over 600 million restorations that take place every year using her technology.
Rini Paiva oversees the selection committee at the National Inventors Hall of Fame.
It's always very competitive, our selection process, because there are a lot of terrific inventors out there, and our job is really to look for the ones who have had the most impact on our world.
Established in 1973, the Inventors Hall of Fame Museum provides displays and interactive exhibits about the inductees and their inventions. There's a model of Thomas Edison's light bulb, George Eastman's handheld cameras, and replicas of Ford Mustangs from 1965 and 2015, split down the middle to show how the iconic car has changed in 50 years. Visitors can also learn about trademarks, how to detect the real from the fake, and match characters, colors, and even sounds to their respective brands. Besides honoring the most innovative minds, past and present, Paiva hopes the museum inspires a new generation of inventors.
It really shows people what we can do through our education programs, really in encouraging young people to pursue STEM fields, also in the power of intellectual property.
The 2018 inductees will join nearly 550 other enshrined inventors whose creativity and ingenuity could someday inspire others to blaze their own paths. Julie Tabo, VOA News, Alexandria, Virginia.
This is VOA.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of VOA's Encounter. Join me and two advocates from the world of politics, public policy, or academia, debating critical and controversial issues of our day, bringing depth, perspective, and insight to the world around us. That's Encounter, every Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
When news breaks, VOA Africa is there, bringing you news as it happens. Listen to Africa News Tonight, Monday through Friday at 1600 and 1800 UTC. And our five-minute newscasts come to you at the top of each hour. VOA Africa, your trusted source of information.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
More than 600,000 people died from malaria last year. Most of those were children. But you can help protect your family with some simple steps. Mosquitoes transmit malaria. Therefore, try to avoid being bitten. Empty all containers of standing water. Water jugs, bottles, cans, and containers that livestock drink from can be breeding grounds for thousands of mosquitoes. Clean your roof of any rubbish where water can collect. Empty any ditches or holes of standing water. Avoid going out when mosquitoes feed, at dusk, overnight, and early in the morning. Sleep under insecticide-treated bed nets.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
This is International Edition. A music group that first shot to popularity more than two decades ago has a new single. VOA's Border Crossings host Larry London joins me with the latest.
All the way back to 1996, the Backstreet Boys are back. They sang a hit song called The Backstreet Boys Are Back, and in this case, it rings true. These guys formed in 96, which is, what, 23 years ago, approximately, in Orlando, Florida. In 2015, they were on a 20th anniversary tour together, and they are getting ready to release their ninth studio album together. So I've got some Backstreet Boys news, but first we're going to lay their new song on you, which is called Don't Go Breaking My Heart.
I got mixed emotions. Did I finally find me a river that could lead me out to the ocean? Cause I've only ever known the kind of love that leaves you battered and broken. So forgive me for my mixed emotions.
So So why are they coming together at this point?
You know, over the years, they've tried other things. Many boy bands, One Direction and groups like that, will all of a sudden decide it's time to try something solo, and they do, and they go in different directions. Kevin Richardson left the group, and then he rejoined the group. So they have decided in the last couple of years that now is a good time for the Backstreet Boys to come back. In fact, they recently had a Las Vegas residency. They were there for quite a few shows, a long run, sold out. They've done cruises before, and they've got a documentary film about them. And like I say, the ninth album, which is expected out in October. And so they just kind of have had a loyal legion of fans who've been following them for 23 years now. The band have sold over 100 million records around the world, and they're, you know, one of just a very few handful of bands to ever achieve that number. And so, you know, they thought the fans were there, and probably, quite frankly, they got a little bored, I would guess, if you're not working and recording and hearing the fans cheering for you. And that's what you've done your whole life. You tend to miss it. Even if you're in your 40s, you still miss it. You had it when you were in your 20s. And so I think that guys like Nick Carter and AJ and the rest of the guys decided now's a good time. And they're also still doing other things, like AJ McLean has just recently released a country music single. So they are doing different things, and they still work as the Backstreet Boys as well. And their ninth album's coming out. And it'll be a different vibe and a different fan base, I'm sure, because their fans have grown up. So it won't be the 12-year-olds buying their music. We'll have to wait and see how that all turns out. But the new song is called Don't Go Breaking My Heart.
All right. Thanks a lot, Larry. That's Larry London. He's the host of VOA's Border Crossings. Baby, don't go breaking my heart, breaking my heart. Baby, don't go breaking my heart, breaking my heart.
It's the only way I got. And
that is our show. Please visit our website at voanews.com. I'm Sarah Williams. Thanks so much for joining us.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
On June 20th, we observe World Refugee Day. It is an occasion to highlight the plight of refugees around the world, commend their resilience, and express gratitude to their hosts. According to the 1951 Convention on the Status of Refugees, a refugee is someone who, owing to a well-founded fear of being persecuted for reasons of race, religion, nationality, membership of a particular social group or political opinion, is outside the country of his nationality and is unable to, or owing to such fear, is unwilling to avail himself of the protection of that country. In 2017, the world's refugee population topped 25 million, more than ever before. The displaced come from all walks of life, singly and in families, across a wide spectrum of ethnic, religious, economic, and educational backgrounds. But they have one thing in common. All have been forced from their homes and homelands. They flee to escape persecution or violent conflict, including terrorism. Often people flee because their towns have been turned into battlefields, and staying means nearly certain death. This is a global crisis that is affecting more men, women, and children than ever before, and for longer and longer periods of time. As we observe World Refugee Day, we are reminded that as long as violence and persecution continue, there will be a pressing need for comprehensive humanitarian action and a global response. That is why the United States is proud to continue its leadership in providing humanitarian aid around the world. This life-saving assistance protects refugees, feeds those who might otherwise starve, shelters those who would otherwise be exposed to the elements, ensures access to safe, clean water and basic health care, and more. The United States is a nation of immigrants, and as Deputy Secretary John Sullivan said, helping those in need is, and always has been, one of our country's core values.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.